We hear again from the gospel reading of John 14. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that I hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In the name of Jesus. So, catechumens, you've worked toward this day. All those sermon reports and essays, the memory work that you did in the book, it was all toward what our Lord gives this morning in the text. It's learning his word, his doctrine. It's confessing the faith. And now coming forward then to receive your Lord's body and blood, as he instituted to be given to his people in the fellowship of his doctrine. So you may hear the Lord's invitation. You confess his doctrine. Your Lord then stands you in the world as his people. But as all this is done, your Lord knows the world he is placing you in. He knows the afflictions, the seductions brought to you by the devil, the temptations your world entangles you in, the lusts and desires of your own sinful flesh. Your Lord knows it all. He knows the pain and travail of our world. He is surprised by none of it. And to you he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." John 14. So have no fear in your heart. Our world is filled with fear. You know that. You're learning it every day. Fear shows us what we hold dear. When we fear losing something or not being able to have something, we will do anything to get it or keep it. And there we will see our sin. When we see what we fear, there we will find our idols, those things we will do anything to keep and protect. But your Lord says you are given to fear him only. Leviticus 5:17, "You shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God." There's that word fear. When we fear God only, we then look at him, this God we fear, and we see that he's the one with nail prints in his hands for us. He's the one speaking kindness to those who have sinned against him. And he says to you, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Let them have no fear." What does our world hold dear and fear losing? A successful life. Our world holds dear a life of good decisions and right directions and effectiveness and potential and all those other words of human accomplishment, like we're building our own Tower of Babel. So what will the world expect from the church? We know. She will expect the church to be teaching how to live a good life, how to make right decisions, how to be led by the Spirit, how to be successful, how to align yourself to God, whatever that means, all the rest. But all this just brings more fear. We will always end up short playing those games of law and end up short before the face of God. That's fear. For all of that, no one needs the church. Really, for that, you need a motivational speaker or a life coach or a TV infomercial or something like that. So what is the church given to speak, to teach, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, the cleansed conscience, the sinner brought from fear into faith. And that actually is your confirmation verse. 1 John 1:7. But as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the Lord gathers his people to church each Sunday for just one thing: for the forgiveness of sins, for the blood of Christ to cleanse all sinners. If you don't have sin, then stay away from church. But if you do have sin, Jesus is for you. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And Jesus loves his church. Our world thinks of church as just people getting together for a common interest. And that makes sense, because we do go about things that way in our world. We can find a bunch of people with a common interest in basketball, maybe, at the UNM pit. Or if you have a bad experience in basketball practice, at the doctor's office for a sprained ankle. We can find a bunch of people with a common interest in whatever, board games, let's say, or in hiking. We can find them at a club meeting that does just those things. We can find a bunch of people with a common interest in a political candidate just by going to his or her rally. That's the way we do it in our world, and that's okay. Because our world thinks then that the church is just that, a bunch of people gathering together with a common interest to learn how to live better lives or whatever. The church is not that. It's the people of Jesus having been gathered together by him to be his church. He calls her his bride. How does the Lord gather these sinners into the church? By the preaching of the gospel, by the cleansing of the sinner. And that, even though she's not able to be here this morning, is Natalie's confirmation verse, Ephesians 5:25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So the large catechism, that's not the small catechism that you've spent 2 years now studying. The large catechism is your next one that you can get at home and use for your devotions and prayers. It's very comforting. The large catechism tells us that everything in the church is ordered toward the forgiveness of sins. If only the world could know that. Everything in the church is ordered toward the sinner being cleansed by the gifts of Jesus. But do you even belong here? Do you belong in the church? Do you belong at the gifts of Jesus? How could you even be sure? If you want to justify yourself, then the church has nothing to give to you. If you want to learn rules and principles of how to live a better life, how to be more effective and successful, Jesus didn't die for that on the cross, and the church has nothing for you. Go find a motivational speaker. But if you're a sinner, if you want to be cleansed of all guilt, all shame, if you want a conscience not in fear, but at peace with God, then you belong in the church. For the church is Jesus gathering sinners to his name, where he is giving out all of his gifts. But can you be sure you belong here? Maybe you're not worthy. Maybe your faith, even this week, is a little too shaky, your conscience too filled with doubt. How can you be sure you belong in the Lord's church? That, angel, is your confirmation verse, Ephesians 1:13. In Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had faith in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Do you belong in the Lord's church? He says you do. This certainty that you belong in the Lord's church is not about your worthiness, not about mine, not about how close or far we feel from God. He never taught us how to speak like that. What's your relationship with God? Are you close? Are you far? Nonsense. It's all law talk, trying to get us to measure things. So you belong in the church, not because of how close or far you feel from God. It's not about anything of your own decisions, choices, efforts, accomplishments, or anything that we find in our own thoughts or desires. This certainty that you belong in the Lord's church, the Lord gives you this certainty by giving you the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The Lord has marked you as his own. He has put his seal on you, says Paul. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for all sinners. And that includes you. You were sealed in the promise of baptism so that you each day can rejoice in putting the old Adam of sinful flesh to death in repentance. And then that the new Adam of the life of faith will then stand up to live before God and receive all of his gifts. And you were sealed when your Lord Jesus says to you, take and eat. Take and drink my body, my blood, for the forgiveness of your sin. We're still in the world. We still fear. That is our life of being at the same time both sinner and saint. Life of flesh, life of faith. Sinner according to our life of flesh, saint according to our life of faith. Our life of the heart cleansed by the sanctifying blood. But we are simultaneously both. We cannot be done with the life of the flesh, with our old man of sin. We can't be done with it, not in any way, until our bodies go down to the death of the earth. But our Lord does not depart us in this life. While we're in our sinful flesh, in our world of sin, our Lord keeps us in his word. He sends the Holy Spirit, who continually is bringing to us the sanctifying, cleansing gifts. We hear the gospel proclaimed. This is the Holy Spirit bringing to us the words of Jesus, because Jesus promised that he would send us the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send to us in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brings to us the remembrance, the comfort of all Jesus' words. John 14:27. Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In the name of Jesus, amen.